We're trying to go through this idea of what is the church. And because we all have different ideas, right? Like when I say church, for me, I can go right back to First Baptist Church in Strawn as a young, more than likely a little punk kid that would walk. The church was right across from my house, and I would walk across the field and go to church by myself most days, most Sundays. And, I remember the pews. I remember the hymnals. My dad loves to tell a story. At some point in my life, I wore cowboy boots. I don't know why or how they let that happen, but they did. But I would fall asleep. This is when I was a kid, so adults, this doesn't give me an excuse today. I would fall asleep in my cowboy boots one by one, poop, poop, right off. And my dad would pick me up and carry me out from there. But like, there's so many memories, fond memories of church that I have. But then there's also memories that aren't so fond. Y'all ever experienced that, right? Anybody ever have unfond memories? And if it's with this church, you can keep your hand down, all right? But I think what happens is we've been told what church is and what it's supposed to look like. And then we open up the word and we're like, where is that in here? And even where I feel like we're trying to be less of a spectator sport as it has become, it's still hard to break through that mold because we're just used to having it done a certain way. But honestly, our goal is to get back to what it's supposed to look like. And it's not going to look exactly like it looked like here. Because that would be no cell phones and no cars, and we don't want that, right? And so our goal is to try to get back to this as close as we can, and that's really the reason for this message and this series was to find out, what does the Lord say about his church? What does Jesus say about his body? And then how can we best reflect that to this world? We were in this passage last week, but 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, if you guys want to turn there, we're going to read over this because before we can like become who we're supposed to be according to the word, we have to make sure that we know who we are here, right? And so last week we talked about to come out of hiding. Right? If the church, the word that they use, ecclesia, if that means to be called out, that means that we personally can't hide, right? But that's our natural tendency with shame and guilt and condemnation, fear and worry and doubt. All those things cause us to hide. And so we looked at that, and it means to be called out of those things. But now today, what we want to look at, same passage, but we want to look at now that Jeff is called out, now that Lauren is called out, now that Alexis is called out. I'm going to use it like three times so I don't forget it. Right, now that we're called out, what does that look like collectively as the called out ones? And so it should be up there on the screen. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Well, Father, we just pray that you would teach us today. Without you, all of this is just a bunch of nonsense. Holy Spirit, I invite you to just teach me, even as I talk, would you teach me today? Would you teach us, open our hearts and our minds and our eyes so that we can better reflect you to this world? In Jesus' name, amen. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. That's what we are as a church. I know church has turned into businesses and big landowners and the biggest churches, the biggest buildings in cities, but that's not church. Church is a people that are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession. The ecclesia, the called out ones, are called into his light and called to be his hands and his feet in a lost and broken world. The church is more than what we've made it about. We've made it about, man, if you're a good Baptist church, it's Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights. And, you know, if you're non-denominational, you're like, hey, that stuff is just, we get it all done on Sunday morning. Just, we're not coming back up here for, you know, for Sunday night. The church is so much more than we've made it. We're going to look at the words throughout this. Like Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. When they're establishing what the church is going to look like, they said, hey, we need to establish deacons so that we can make sure and not neglect the widows and the orphans. It says that they gathered together in Acts 2:42, that they gathered together daily and they were devoted to fellowship. This is Acts 2:42 and through 47. They were devoted to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to expectation of miracles, that they shared in the possessions. Like, if anybody was in need, the need was met. And so I believe that the church has been is more than what we've made it about. This guy did a survey on TikTok before he got banned. But this guy did a survey and said, hey, I want to hear some of the church fights. All right, so you ready? This will lighten the mood a little bit. There was an argument over the appropriate length of the worship pastor's beard. This wasn't at our church. I always can count on a delayed laugh over there. There was a church dispute about whether or not to install restroom stall dividers in the women's restroom. I think that's pretty obvious. We should do that. A church argument and a vote to decide if a clock in the worship center should be removed. There was a fight and then a vote afterwards. A 45-minute heated argument over the type of filing cabinet to purchase. Black or brown, they settled that, and then it was 2, 3, or 4 drawers. A fight over which picture of Jesus to put in the foyer. A petition to have all church staff clean shaven. It doesn't affect me. This is like 7 months going right here, so I'm good. A dispute over whether the worship leader should have his shoes on during service. A dispute in the church because the Lord's Supper had cran grape juice instead of grape juice. Business meeting arguments about whether the church should purchase a weed eater or not. It took 2 business meetings to resolve. 2 churches reported fights over the type of coffee. In one of the churches, they moved from Folgers to a stronger Starbucks brand. And the other church, they simply moved to a stronger blend. Members left one of the churches because of that. Major conflict when the youth borrowed a crock pot that had not been used in years. An argument on whether the church should allow deviled eggs at the church meal. Hey, I can kind of get behind this argument there. So I'm not going to tell you what side I'm on, but that could be bad. An argument over who has the authority to buy postage stamps for the church. A disagreement over the term potluck instead of pot blessing. 3 more. An argument over whether to have gluten-free communion bread or not. A dispute over whether the church should allow people to wear black t-shirts since black is the color of the devil. And a last one, an argument over whether the fake dusty plants should be removed from the podium. We laugh, but they're true. There is a church in, I think I've told this one before, in Morgan Mill. It's a little town right outside of Stephenville. A person in the church won the lottery. And they're like, hey, we're going to build a new church. And the church leader was like, we're not accepting the devil's money. And so the guy and half the church left, and they bought the land right across the street and built a nice brand new church. Church is more than what we've made it about. Have we not become so ingrained on like what I like and what I don't like? And we're like, well, if we don't like that, we'll go start Second Baptist Church. And I mean, but at some point there's going to be a Third Baptist Church if there's not already, you know, I mean, and I'm saying a lot of the Baptists, but there's a lot of denominations that have fractured. But what happens is there's a breakdown on what church is supposed to look like. On what church is supposed to be, because we have invested so much money and time and effort into buildings, I said that weird, into buildings that we think that this is the church. The word is ecclesia, the called out ones. The church is people, not a place. And we struggled on what to make it look like, how to apply the Bible to today's society. And we failed miserably. Because we're more concerned about what happens inside of these walls than what's happening inside of our hearts. There's a misunderstanding. There's a guy, you know, I also do construction work, and there's this guy that works with me. His name is Steve. And Steve speaks about 95% Spanish and 5% English. And I speak about 5% Spanish and 95% English. I don't do either one of them well, but Steve, he's really taken a liking to me these last couple weeks, but Steve will, like a full 4 or 5 sentences in Spanish. You know, there's different types. There's slow speakers. Those love those slow Spanish speakers. Steve is a rapid talker, man. And he's just going on. And he's like, so there's like a water pump, and he'll be talking. And he's like, all the Spanish words. And they'll be like, the agua. And I'm like, okay, I got that. What did you say for the last 5 minutes? And he's just like, yeah. And I'm like, no, what? And then he's like, the agua? I go, oh, yeah. Okay, you can drain the water. That's fine. I'm like, and then sometimes I'll walk over there after I've told Steve what to do, and it's like, what is going on? And he goes, good? I'm like, no, that's not what I said, Steve. And I feel like so many times we build these beautiful buildings, and we have all the programs, and somebody calls and asks for $100 to pay a bill, and we go, you need to go get a job, man. Jesus said a worker is worth their wage. And then we sit back and go, Lord, is that good? We're Stephen. We're like, good? And God's going, no, what are you doing? I told you what to do. And we sit back and we're so proud of the buildings that we've built, the programs that we've established. And we're like, man, and I know you're like, but Jeff, look at you, you're the same. And I go, I know, and we're trying not to be. We try very hard not to make this about one or two gifted people. We try to go, Lord, you've blessed us tremendously financially. How can we not pour out all that you've given us? If we're not careful, church will become, we'll reduce it to a building that we visit, to a program that we attend, or a social club that we gather with people that look like us, talk like us, vote like us, dress like us, and we think that we've done a good job. And the Lord goes, man, one day, I'm going to gather my people. And it says that every people from every language and nation, tribe and tongue are going to gather together. And how can we look more like that? There's got to be more than just what it looks like now. The main idea today is that the ecclesia, the called out ones, are called into his light and called to be his hands and feet in a lost and broken world. And that's where we are today. We're at the crossroads of what the Lord has said and designed his church to be. And we're at the crossroad of what the West says that a successful church should look like. Man. The first point today is it's about identity, and I doubt I'm going to get much further. Let's just stay. We'll see what happens. It's about identity, and we talked about it last week, and we said that we are called out, that if I don't know who I am and what I'm capable of, then I'll never accomplish what the Lord has set out for me. When I don't see myself in it, when we don't see ourselves as the church, as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession, if we don't view ourselves as that, then it doesn't matter what the Lord said the church should look like, because we'll never even achieve it. God always establishes identity before he gives out his mission. We have to know who we are in order to be sure that we can accomplish what he has set out for us. I've shared with you my track days, and we were running. I was in junior high, eighth grade. It was for the district meet. I ran in junior high. The long distance races are mile and a half, which is the first race, and the mile, which is the next to last race, other than the last race is the mile relay. And I had gone canoeing the week before the meet, like a couple of days before. And if you don't know this about me, I sunburn very easily. It's pretty obvious. I think I got sunburned yesterday. It was ridiculous. I got so sunburned, I couldn't walk. I laid in bed. My aunt had this home remedy. Yeah. It involved putting mixing a concoction of mayonnaise and something else and applied it on my legs, and all it did, my skin was still so hot, it just baked on there, and it became a layer of crust on my legs. I was like, awesome. So then I had to take a bath and scrub that off, and I mean, it was the worst pain, but I didn't run the mile and a half the first race. I could barely walk. I went to the track meet, though. And we were in a tight race. No pun intended. We were in a tight contest with Gordon, who's the school, the rival of Strawn. And it's, Strawn's good, Gordon bad, that whole thing, And we came down to the last two events, and we needed points. To secure, we needed six more points to be able to make sure that no matter what happened in the mile relay that we were going to win. And I couldn't walk. I was there, and it hurt so bad. My legs were bright red, blisters on them. And I remember my coach. His name's Coach Bradley. He had orange curly hair behind his back. His nickname was Binky, Binky the Clown. So that way you can just get the full picture. I can remember Coach Bradley coming up to me a couple of races before my race is up, and Coach Bradley said, "Hey, Jeff, I need you to do this." And man, I'm crying. I'm like, "Coach, I can't do it." I'm walking like this. And he said, "Jeff, you can do it." He goes, "We need 6 points." I was like, "Coach, man, I don't want to." Coaches can say a lot of really mean things over the years, and Binky said some mean things to me at some points in my life, but in that moment, he spoke identity over me, and he said, "Jeff, you can do this. I need you to go get 6 points. I need you to finish at least second." I went out there, Dad remembers, I think we were at either Newcastle or Throckmorton, maybe. Y'all have never heard of those towns either, so whatever. I can remember lining up on the starting, everyone else, they're ready to run the mile. And I'm just like, man, I'm not going to do this. I did. I got second place. Amen. We won the track meet, but it only came about because Coach Bradley pulled me aside and he spoke identity into me. And he said, Jeff, you can go and get 6 points. You can do it. And I doubted myself. Why this is so important. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession. You have to understand who you are so that you can accomplish everything that he has for you. It begins with a chosen race. You want to talk about a word that's been so polarized and politicized, race. This word race means a family, a tribe, the aggregate of many individuals of the same kind, nature, and sort. That's a lot. Probably should have put that up there for y'all. The word race means family, tribe, and the aggregate of many individuals of the same nature, kind, and sort. Peter is talking to the church, you know, and we've talked about how last week they were the exiles. These are, first of all, these aren't Jews, right? Because he says, once you were not God's people. So he's talking to the Gentiles, but now you are God's people. Once you did not know mercy, but now you know mercy. And so Peter's talking to his church and he says, hey, I want you to know that you're a chosen race. Church was designed to be a family first and foremost. A family that comes together of the same nature, kind, and sort. Denominations and the fracturing of the church was not God's idea or God's plan. Like when that happened, and it all started back in 1066 AD when a king wanted to divorce his wife again and get remarried, and they said, no, not going to happen. So he left and they started another church. But the goal and the design is that we, no matter what happens, we can stick together. It's where I've been called out of sin, out of darkness, out of shame, and out of guilt. And so that means that no matter what y'all say or do, we're family. You know, I think of Elda sharing like, hey, you've been forgiven of so much. And you're like, what else are y'all going to do that's going to offend me or hurt me? Like, this is my people. But how quick are we to go, man, I really wanted that 3-drawer brown filing cabinet and y'all got the 2-drawer black one. I'm out. I'll go to somewhere else that appreciates my interior designs. Like, we're so quick to just dismiss and go. I'll go here because there's churches all over the place. But the idea is that we are a chosen race, that you're not an afterthought. You're not, we as the church is not a random collection of individuals. Like God's not just like, hey, let's just slap these people together and see what happens. We are chosen. The church, the body of Jesus Christ is chosen to accomplish what he has for us. Ephesians 1:4, we can turn there if you don't mind. Sometimes these little letters are hard to find, but you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Easy way to remember it. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you're at go, just run over there to eat. Man, all this talk of food. I'm hungry. And I know it's really up to me when I stop, so whatever. It's not up to me. Ephesians 1:4. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted. I'm going to go to verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one. The church is not a random collection of individuals. God has chosen us to be a family. Chosen is not about exclusivity, though. It's about purpose. We are chosen because of God's grace, not because of our own merit or because we've earned it. We're chosen so that we can reflect the glory of God to the lost and the broken world. Like, you can get caught up on, man, God chose me. Man, I'm something special. You're chosen only by his grace, not because of anything you've done. And you were only chosen so that you could reflect the goodness of him to the lost and broken world. Because the truth is, he didn't need any of us. He could have done it himself, but he chose us so that we could be the people that people look at and go, man, I've lost all faith in church, but I see the way that Mike is ministering and walking and all the things that Mike has journeyed through, and here he is. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus again. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Like, this idea is lost on us. Man, I lost this fight big time with whoever keeps messing with me. I apologize. A royal priesthood. Like, we don't really understand that language and that terminology. But before Jesus, before the church, it was only a select few that were allowed to serve and minister in the temple. You had to come from the right tribe, from the right family, and you had to, like, it was here and it was designed, but if you weren't from that family, from that tribe, that clan, you weren't that person. You weren't a priest. But now, we are a royal priesthood. Like, there is no more mediator between me and God. Like the veil and the curtain is torn. Like, I don't have to bring animal sacrifices to the priest so that I can be acceptable to God anymore. That you as the church are a royal priesthood that now, because of the blood of Jesus and not the blood of bulls and goats and rams, but because of the blood of Jesus, you can draw near to him yourself. You are the royal priesthood. You are the mediator between you and God and between God and the lost and broken world. Not because they can't see him or know him, but because he has chosen you to reflect his goodness and his glory so that one day they might go, man, I want what he has. And when they do, then it's like, oh, so I can have this all the time. So many times we look at the church and we don't view ourselves as a royal priesthood because we still go back to that old way of doing it, to where the pastor spends time with the Lord and he teaches us, and then we go home and we forget about it right after the playoff game and we gripe about the refs, right? Like, we forget it, and so what do we have to do the next week? I better go back to church because I already forgot what he talked about last week. I need to go back and back and back. I'm not what stands between you and the Lord. You don't need me to tell you what the Lord says. You have complete access to him. It's that picture of the buffet table. It's set and it never runs out. You have complete access to him, to his presence. You have authority to intercede on behalf of him, and you have the privilege to minister his grace to others. You are not just a believer. You are a priest carrying the presence of God wherever you go. On our kids' ministry shirts, on the back of them, it says, a contributor, not a consumer. That we, as the royal priesthood, we are contributors of what happens here in service. It's not to just come and be entertained. It's not to come and just, okay, what do you have for me? But that we all get to partake. And that's why we open it up. Hey, what's a testimony? What's a word? Because the Lord is speaking to every one of us. And what it takes the collectiveness of what he's saying to go, oh man, there it is. Because you might not get anything out of what I say right now, but something that Rivaldo said might go, man, that was really good. What Elda said, you might go, Man, that was really good, and that was really good, y'all. To stop and just listen before you rush off to the next thing. But if we don't give space for Elda to talk, then Elda keeps that to herself. Maybe she posted on Facebook for her 13 followers, you know? I don't know how many she's got. I'm joking. Maybe she posted. Maybe somebody gets to hear it. But the church, that was rude. The church is designed that we're contributors and not consumers. We've become so entertainment-minded. We want to come and we just want to hear, sing some songs and preach a word and make me feel good about it, make sure we got the right coffee, and we just walk out of here completely unchanged. You're not just a believer, though. You're a priest, and you carry the presence of God wherever you go. We are a holy nation set apart for His purposes. The church is set apart for His purposes. There's nothing more disgusting when the church looks just like the world. Is there? I mean, and I'm a pastor. Like, when I see some things, and people can look at us and say the same thing. When I look at some things at some church, and you look at it and you're like, man, you're just like the world. I mean, they have these controversies all the time. There was one of the church that had the conference, and there was like a male dancer, and you're like, what? Who approved that? Like, that wasn't just one man's decision. That had to have gone through a couple of people. I'm sure they didn't tell a woman about it, because a woman would have said, what the heck are y'all doing? That's dumb, right? Men just gather around, and they're like, here you go. And it's like, they look just like the world. We do everything to try to just camouflage ourselves so that, man, maybe somebody will come in those doors. But we are a holy nation. We are set apart. We should be welcoming, but the hurt, the lost, those in sin should not come into a church and go, man, I felt so comfortable there. They should go, man, the Holy Spirit would not leave me alone. I don't want to ever go back to that place. Because the Holy Spirit will convict them, and then they'll come back when they're ready. But we've become so much like the world, our language and our lingo, but the word says that we are a holy nation, that we are set apart. John 17, 16, if you want to turn there. My wife tells me we should turn and read these instead of me just telling them to you. So John 17, 16, she likes that when I call her out. John 17, 16, this is Jesus praying and talking. He's talking about his disciples and his people, and he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Romans 12, 2, it's a couple of books over there. I'll read it as you're turning to it, but just so that you know that I read it, Lauren. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. We are set apart. The church should not look like the world. And so often we try so hard to reach the lost and the broken. The problem is the church tries to reach the lost and broken by inviting them into a place that they don't feel welcome. The early church went to the places where the lost and the broken were. Isn't that different? Like, we're always like, hey, there's actually like two church holidays, and I think one is in August, and it's like National Get Back into Church Day. But what if we said, hey, National Get Back Into the World Day? What if the church said, hey, we're not going to meet this Sunday. We're going to go where they are. Yes. There'd be a lot less people going because they'd be like, eh. Be a lot of church splits that day. Like, hey, that ain't what we're doing. We've made it so much that we want to look like the world, and yet we are called to be so different, to be set apart. Our values and our priorities and our lifestyles should reflect the character of Christ. Holiness is a message that we don't like to preach. Holiness can sound like a burden, but honestly, when you fall in love with Him, when you quit trying to strive to earn your way into His good graces, into His favor, holiness is a joyful response to the God who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Like, I've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Like when Elda's like, man, you don't know me. There's two people in here right now that do know me of the old, and they're right over there. They know, man, we're in competition. Somebody's going to win the chili competition, but the sinner competition, I got you. Like, I've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. And then can you imagine my heart that goes, but I still want to do what I want to do, Lord. I thank You that You've called me out of that and You've put me into Your marvelous light, but I'm still going to do what I want to do. How rebellious am I? We don't want to be set apart. We don't want to be holy because it's like, oh, that's so religious. Oh, that, no. Holiness is not a burden. It's a joyful response to what the Lord has done. Man, that song, Hallelujah for the Cross. Man, that was good today. A people for His own possession. You are His treasured possession, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. If you want to turn back, for me, it's one page, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. We are a people for His own possession. You see that the church is not defined by a building, a denomination, or a program, but it's defined by its relationship with God. We are His people. We are called by His name, and we are held in His hand. Is it okay if we pause there for today and come back next week after somebody has won chili cook-off? Y'all good with that? Good, I got one amen over there from my daughter. What a punk. Can we start with this week of, you're not just a churchgoer. You're not just an attendee. You're not just a believer. You are the church. You are the called out ones. This week, I'm trying. And so, like, I know, like, it seems like I'm preaching at you, but I'm really not. I'm preaching to myself, and I hope that y'all pick something up because I need to hear this. So when I stop seeing yourself as a spectator and start living as a participant in God's grand story, like, I'm saying for myself, for this week, I want to say, Lord, I don't want to just be a spectator. I don't want to just be a believer. This week, may I reflect His goodness and His graciousness. May I reflect His love to a lost and broken world. That's my challenge to you. Find one person. Show them the love of God. Let me pray. Father, I thank You that You called us out of darkness and into marvelous light. Thank You that You have given us identity. We're not just some random group of people, but You've called us for a specific purpose. Father, would You teach us what that looks like? Even if we don't see it in any of the churches around us, may we be the ecclesia. May we be called out for something far greater than what we see at this moment. I love you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.